Well, today's message is called Fill in the Void, and our verse here, Philippians 3, 7, and 8, says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Well, the year was 1996. Anybody in here, okay, remember 1996? Okay. Well, talk to some kids nowadays. They have no idea what 1996, they weren't even born yet. So funny. I can't believe I'm that old. But anyways, you know, I was 26 years old at the time. I was a public high school teacher. I was teaching what I love to teach. There's nothing better than getting paid to do what you love to do, let me tell you. And I was teaching computer graphics, Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator and 3D design and animation and video editing. And then I would print everything on t-shirts. And I mean, I was just having fun and getting paid for it, basically, right? I was having the time of my life. And I had just a great job, what could I say? And not only that, but I had a wonderful family who really loved me. And I had the things I always wanted. I had the sports car of my dream. You know, I always wanted this car. Someday I'm going to get it. Well, I got the car, okay? Got the sports car. I had a girlfriend who never argued with me, not one time. Okay? Not one time. And so I was just like in this place where I had everything that I thought I wanted, but I was missing the one thing that I really needed. You see, the problem was, though, I didn't know what that one thing was. And my whole life, you know, I've kind of heard this little voice in my head, you know, maybe you've heard it too. It said, you know, hey, Joseph, you know, what you need is to achieve this and to get that in order to be content and to be happy in your life and fulfilled. I don't know if you've heard that voice, but I've heard it many times my whole life. And it wasn't an audible voice, you know, Joseph or anything like that. No, it was just kind of that little thought in your head that just doesn't seem to come from you. You know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I mean or not, but that's what it was. Where did this thought come from? That's kind of that voice that I hear. It wasn't really from me. I wasn't thinking about it. For example, when I was a kid, I'd always hear this little voice whispering to me saying, "Hey, Joseph, you need to be really good at sports. You need to be good at sports because if you're good at sports, you're going to be accepted by your friends. Everybody's going to like you. You're going to be popular and you're going to be happy and fulfilled." I go, okay. So, you know, one problem. I was terrible at sports. I was terrible at sports when I was a kid. Each year I would want to sign up for the baseball team because all my friends were on the baseball team. And my mom would say, "Joseph, are you sure you want to join the baseball team?" And why? Because she knew I was terrible. And all the kids used to make fun of me and pick on me. They really did. And I was the worst guy on the team. That was me. The problem was I had, see these big old feet? They were about the same size when I was this small. My feet grew before I did. And I was really uncoordinated. I didn't know how to run, you know. With these big old people who make fun of me. They say, "Oh, look at those skis." They say I had skis as feet. And so I had problems with my coordination, running and things like that. But, you know, eventually I grew into my feet. And with the help of my older brother, who used to beat me up every day. I had a really nice brother. My brother used to beat me up. With the help of my brother, he used to beat me up all the time. I actually got pretty strong defending myself from him. And I also got pretty fast at running for my life from my brother who was trying to beat me up every day. And as time grew, so did I into those feet. And before you know it, there I was. I was my senior year. I was in high school. I was there. Captain of the high school football team. I was the captain of the high school wrestling team. And I was the big guy on campus. And believe it or not, I was even pretty popular. They voted me the class cutie, if you can believe that. Okay? And so it was just this time, and I'm not saying this to boast, I'm just trying to set the stage here, okay? But all those achievements that I thought would bring me so much happiness. Oh, everyone will like you. You're so popular. Oh, you're so this and that. Guess what? They left me emptier and emptier. They didn't fulfill me. Now, have you ever gotten your hopes up for something, you know, so much like, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, only to be disappointed after you got it, when you realize it wasn't everything you thought it was going to be? That was me. My life wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You see, those accolades did not bring lasting contentment to my life. They only left me questioning, what's next? What's next? So once again, as I asked that question, what's next? Guess what I heard? The little voice in my head saying, well, Joseph, what you need now is to go to college and to graduate and become very successful. Okay, all right, let's do that. Well, there's a problem. You know, my mother, she was a single mom. She was really struggling as we were kids, and she couldn't help me financially to go to college. So she made me a deal. She said, and this is a good deal, parents, let me tell you, it worked for me. But she said, you know, Joseph, if you go to college, then you can stay here for free after you're 18, okay? But if you don't go to college, that means you have to go work and pay rent, okay? And that was the deal my mom made with me. I thought it was a great deal because either way, I was going to have to pay, right? I had to get a job because she couldn't help me financially with college, so I had to work to go to college. Either way, I had to pay. And so I ended up working three jobs, working myself through college, and finally, 8 years later, the long path, I finally graduated, okay? But it was worth it because that allowed me to become a high school teacher, as I mentioned earlier. But the problem was, I still was empty inside. As wonderful as that job was, as fun as I was having, doing what I loved to do, it didn't fill me. I didn't go home every night, oh boy, you know, no. I was like, what's next? What's next? And I listened to that voice inside my head time and time again through my whole life saying, this is what you're going to need to be content and so forth. And it promised me, but they were empty promises. You see, achievement after achievement, I realized that those promises did not, nor they could ever fulfill that void in my life. As I said before, I had everything that I wanted, at least I thought I wanted, but I was missing that one thing that I needed. But what was it? And what was next, I would ask myself, that I needed to go strive for and achieve to bring me that happiness and contentment? Now, I remember I was at a nightclub, okay, one Friday night. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and had never argued with me, and I had some nice clothes on, and I had my cool car in the parking lot, and I had, at that time, you know, I had muscles, I even had hair, believe it or not, okay? I mean, if someone was to come and ask me at that moment, hey, Joseph, you know, I haven't seen you for a while, how's everything going? I would say, everything's going great. I couldn't ask for anything more. And the reason why I would say I couldn't ask for anything more because, of course, I didn't know what to ask for. What was next? And I remembered looking around at the people in the club. And I saw this couple dancing, and they really looked happy. They're dancing and smiling and having a good time, you know, But all of a sudden, it was just the strangest thing. I didn't drink. I wasn't on drugs, okay? I wasn't tripping out. I was just standing there, and it was this weirdest thing. As if, like those movies and TV shows that you see, where you see people's lives, and all of a sudden they cut the screen, and they go back, and they show their reality, right? The reality of their life, what's going on behind the scenes. And that's what it was like. And I saw these people dancing, and all of a sudden, boom, and I saw them just miserable and arguing and fighting and just the behind the scenes. And then it cut back to them all dancing and stuff. Wow, that was weird. Then I look around, I see another couple, and these guys were just dancing, they're having a good time too, but I noticed that they were just miserable at their jobs when they cut screen back into the screenshot of their life, right? And they were miserable, and they just hated their work week and they were just there to forget about it and have fun, right? I would go around, looking around, next couple, person to person, throughout the room, this person's depressed, this person's miserable, this person's worried, and person after person, as if God was showing me the reality of these people's lives. And I just thought to myself, wow, if they really are so happy, then why are they even here? You know, what do they need to come here to drink and party and have fun for? I wondered this in my mind. Well, as I continue to look around the room, I turn around and here's this guy. And I look at him and I go, man, look at this guy. He's got this girl next to him and he's got these clothes and he's got muscles, he's got hair. He looks like he's got a lot going on for him, right? And I soon realized that he was the most miserable of them all. And how did I know that? Because I was looking in a mirror. There's a big mirror. As I turn around, I'm like, now this guy is the worst of all of them. He was the most miserable. But when you looked in the mirror, when you looked on the surface, you would think, oh, he's got everything going on for him. But it was not true. And I thought to myself, once again, what's next? And once again, I heard that little voice saying to me, "What? Here it comes. What you need next, Joseph, is a yacht. A fancy sailboat. A sailboat. a yacht. Wait a minute. I don't even know how to swim. What am I going to do with a boat? I'm going to drown out there, okay?" And so the voice kind of gave up on that one because I wasn't buying it. And the voice said, well, okay, then Joseph, what you need then is you need to buy a big fancy house. Oh, okay. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm lonely in the house that I have. In the small house that I have, a bigger house is going to make me even lonelier. No, that can't be it. So the voice is probably over here thinking, okay, what's next? And the voice says, okay, Joseph, what you need now is you need to get married and have a bunch of kids. Oh, then you'll be happy. Now, at that point, I knew I was losing my mind, okay? Kids, are you kidding? At that point in my life, that was the last thing I was looking for or even wanted to have. Now, even though right now Amy, my wife, you know, next month she's due, June 4th, she's due to have our baby. And let me tell you, I am so excited. I've never been this antsy, I don't think, except for when Amy and I were getting married. But I mean, man, this is just a crazy feeling. And I'm so excited. But you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm also pretty scared. Okay, I'm really scared in a lot of ways. Because when it comes to babies, I have no idea. I have no idea what to do. Last week, I had to go to this papa class. Have you guys gone to the papa class? Right? They put the big heavy thing on you, like 9 kilos, and they go, okay, walk up the stairs and down the stairs and untie your shoes and all these things. I'm like, oh, man. And then it was crazy. But this papa class, you know, they had to teach me how to hold the baby. And what do they tell you? Hold the neck, hold the neck, hold the neck. What do you mean hold the neck? Is the head going to fall off? This is scary, okay? Hold the neck. And so that was a scary thing to me. I've always been afraid of babies, you know? And even my own nieces and my own nephews, I would never hold them because I'm going to hold the neck. I mean, I'm responsible for this kid's head falling off. No. That's scary. And so I would never hold them until they were old enough to walk around and hold their own neck. And then I would pick them up and have fun with them. And so that was my life at that time. And I'm telling you, I have no idea when it comes to babies. And so they had to teach me how to wash the baby and change the diaper and all these things that I had no clue about, okay? And so you could imagine at that point in my life, 26-year-old guy, just hearing this voice in his head, hey, you need to have a bunch of kids, okay? Crazy. No way. So that was, of course, the first time in my life that I heard this voice tell me what I needed next, and I didn't listen to the voice. It's the first time in my life I didn't listen to that voice, okay? I didn't run off and buy the boat. I didn't go get the big house. And praise God, I didn't marry that girl and have a bunch of babies, because look what I would have missed out on, my beautiful wife Amy, of course, okay? So let me tell you, And here's my little single cut, okay? For you singles, I did a whole single series. I tell you, man, go online and listen to that thing if you're single. But here's my little snippet here. If you're single here today, you know, trust me, there are far worse things than being single. Being married to the wrong person is far worse, okay? So understand that. Don't try to help God out by settling for less than God's best. Okay, that's my plug for you singles. Well, back to the nightclub. Every time in my life, when I heard this voice, I would, of course, go out and try my best to get whatever the voice was saying. You need this, Joseph. Okay, I would go out and try and get it. But like I said, this time was different. I didn't believe it. So I went home that night thinking to myself, oh, what could possibly be next? Well, the next day I got a phone call from a friend that I knew in college, okay? And this guy would call me once a month for like 2 years, okay? Asking me questions about computers. Joseph, how do you do this? And I'd say, click here, drag there, click that, click that. And I would tell him on the phone. But after each conversation for 2 years, he would say, hey, Joseph, what are you doing tomorrow? Do you want to come to church? And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's going to ask me to come to church again today, right? So I'd always think in my mind, okay, what's my excuse? What's my excuse? Well, this time, I had no excuse. I had no excuse. I just spent the entire night and the entire morning thinking to myself, what's next? What's next? What's next? Lost, not knowing what direction to go. And so, as he was talking to me, as I asked this question, I was preparing myself for the question that I knew was going to come. And sure enough, hey, Joseph, you want to come to church tomorrow? What are you doing? And I thought to myself, what do I have to lose? And I said, okay. Okay? Are you serious? I've been asking you for 2 years to come here. I said, hey, I'm serious, but you better be quiet before I change my mind. Okay, I wasn't happy about it. Well, like I said, this time was different. I didn't have any excuses. Now, the next day, of course, I went to church with the guy, and we go to the church, and they play a few songs, you know, and the pastor comes up, and I'll never forget what he said or what he began to say. He looked at the crowd, and he says, you know what? Some of you are empty inside. Some of you are empty, and you're trying to fill that emptiness with, of course, success and material things and with relationships and all of these things. But the fact is, those things only seem to make you feel even emptier than you were before. And I'm sitting there going, hey, what's going on here? How does this guy know what I was thinking, you know? And how does he know what I'm feeling, I thought to myself. And he continued to explain. He said, you know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, you know, they were in the Garden of Eden there. And in the garden, they had their body, they had their soul, and they had the Spirit of God just right there amongst them, of course. But when they got kicked out of the garden, what happened? Because of their sin, well, they got kicked out and they were left with their body and they were left with their soul. But the Spirit of God had departed, you see. Okay? And so it is today in our lives. We have our body, we have our soul, but the Spirit of God is what's missing in our life. And there's this, as we've heard said before, there's this God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be filled with the Spirit of God. Nothing else fits. Nothing else can satisfy or fulfill that void in your life. Now, there were about 1,000 people. It was a big church in that room that day. But I felt like this guy was speaking right to my heart. You see? And after service, my friend asked me, so, hey, did you like it? Do you want to come back? I said, yeah, it was okay. I'll come back. He said, oh, great. Well, hey, do you want to meet during the week and go through some Bible studies together? And I said, okay. I figured, what do I have to lose, right? I couldn't escape the reality of this guy penetrating my heart through these words. So I agreed. And after 2 weeks or so of going through this little Bible studies they were doing with me, all of a sudden it came to the suffering of Jesus. And they gave me this handout that described the suffering of Jesus and what he endured from a medical perspective. And it was very detailed, and it really blew my mind, okay? It was so detailed, the scourgings, the cross, what he went through. For me, they said. And around 6 months earlier than this, I had gone to my niece's high school musical performance, okay? The little high schools and stuff, they would do these performances and they would sing and dance and all the rest. And they did this musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. Have you ever heard of that? Okay, some of you. It's that one, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Dun, 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 dun. Anyways, they did this play. And there was a part in the play where, of course, Jesus was being scourged, okay? He was being whipped, and he's being whipped 39 times by at the order of Pilate. And the music was very intense. I'll never forget this bass line, okay? I would love nobody to do it. Boom, boom, boom. Man, it'd be awesome. But this bass line comes up. Doom, 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 one. Doom, 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 two. Doom, 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 three. All the way up to 39. And it was just, like I said, really intense. And so as I was driving home this night from the Bible study, I couldn't get this song out of my head. It was a song that I heard 6 months earlier for only one time, and all of a sudden this dum 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 dum, these whippings are going on in my head. And then I see this record shop as I'm driving. There's a record shop. I pull into the record shop. I go in there and say, "Hey, do you have Jesus Christ Superstar on CD?" Oh yeah. And they gave me a 2-CD box set, okay? So I put those things in my CD player in my car, and I'm driving home and listening one song after another. And of course, I go through the whole CD because the whippings of Jesus are at the end, duh, okay? And I finally get to the end, and there's the song. There it is. I finally found it. One, psh, dun, 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 two, psh, dun, 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 three, psh, bah, dun, 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 dun. And it gets more and more intense as after each and every whip crack. And let me tell you, when it finally got to number 39, I'd finally come to realize for the first time in my life that those whips should have been all mine. It was an unworthy exchange. My guilty life for his guiltless one. Jesus offered himself to be scourged and crucified for me personally. And I'd finally come to this reality. And as that whip cracked for the 39th time, I found myself broken before the Lord, weeping like a baby, and just crying out to God for forgiveness and surrendering my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ that night. Our verse here, Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, I was lost, but now I was found. I was blind, but now I was able to see. I was guilty, but now I was forgiven. I was bound, but now I was set free. I was empty, but now for the first time in my life, my heart was filled. That night, May 25th, 1997, I became a Christian, and I have been filled with his love ever since. I'd heard about Jesus my entire life growing up in America, okay? But I didn't know him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And I spent more time listening to that small voice of Satan, I've come to realize who it was, telling me what I needed to do next to be content and to be happy, rather than listening to the voice of the Lord. Well, that night, everything changed. And perhaps there's someone here today that has been listening to that same voice your whole life. That voice suggesting that you just need someone or something in order to be happy. Those things that are anything other than Christ to find that contentment and fulfillment that you're looking for. You see, anything other than Christ, that's not from Christ. Let me tell you. Listen, don't buy the lie. I wasted 26 years of my life chasing after the wind. Things that could never fulfill me even after I grabbed them. Don't waste another day. You know, 3,000 years ago now, a king named Solomon, who this guy had it all. Perhaps you know King Solomon. He had it all. He had fame, he had riches, he had intelligence, he had women, he had power, yet he went through his life wondering why he felt so empty and his life seemed so pointless. Well, notice what he says here in Ecclesiastes 1:14. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Everything under the sun, everything he tried, fame, riches, knowledge, women, power, it was all emptiness, you see. It wasn't until he looked to God and got a heavenly perspective that life once again had meaning and purpose. Notice his final conclusion at the end of the book. He writes these words, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. See, just as a square peg cannot fill a round hole, those little things we play when they're little kids. This doesn't fit. You need the right shape, right? Well, neither can the God-shaped hole inside of each and every one of us be filled by anyone or anything other than God himself. You see, now there are always those who feel, oh, if I could just do this or that, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is you're thinking, or if I can just get this or get that, okay, fill in the blank, whatever you may be thinking, then okay, I'll be happy, I'll be satisfied, I'll be content. And I know there's people like that. King Solomon was like that. I was like that. So that's two of us. You see, and I know there's probably more. How about you? You know, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we're hoping to achieve and attain in our life that we think is going to bring us satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment, you see? What is it? Whatever it is that's popping in your brain throughout your day, you know, just go ahead and do yourself a favor. Just right over the top of it, you will thirst again. You will thirst again. What are you talking about, Joseph? Well, I'm talking about what Jesus talked about with the Samaritan woman at the well. Some of you know the story, John 4:13. Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. What is it that we're thirsting for? What is it that we think is going to quench our thirst? What is it? Whatever it is, we're going to thirst again, you see. He continues here in verse 14. He says, Jesus said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, this is great. Oh, wow, I want this water, she's going to go on to say. But notice Jesus does not say that he is the living water, but he says he's going to give the living water to her, and when she received it, she would never thirst again. So of course, this verse doesn't tell us, what is that living water? For that, we have to go to another passage of Scripture. In this case, Jesus was at the temple, surrounded by thousands and thousands of worshipers. Notice John 7:37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit as he speaks of the living water. And as we call upon the name of the Lord, as we read, we will be saved. The Holy Spirit will fill our hearts, enter into our hearts, and fill our hearts. And we're not only filled with his love and his forgiveness, but we will also be overflowing with it, it says. Right? That means whoever gets around, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, should end up getting wet. Because we're filled. We're overflowing. And if you get near me, well, then you should be getting wet. Okay? Now, have you ever been in a water fight as a kid? How many have been in a water fight, okay? With squirt guns, maybe. You know, I got you. Okay, or maybe water balloons. That's fun, huh? Imagine if I had a bunch of water balloons, I'd start chucking them at you right now. Okay? Or how about a hose? You know, we get hose fights. And we start hosing each other. Has anybody ever gotten fights like that? Okay, a couple of you. Did you have fun? It's a lot of fun, right? Okay, it's a lot. What's the objective of a water fight? Get the other person wet, right? Okay, it's not that hard. The objective of the water fight is trying not to get wet, but to get everybody wet. And you know, that's, it's fun, isn't it? Well, it's no different with Christianity, folks. Christianity's fun. We're trying to get each other wet. It could be a lot of fun. It could be crazy sometimes. Yeah, it's true. But it could also be a lot of fun. Now, are we going to allow the Holy Spirit is the question. Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to overflow our hearts so that everyone around us just gets soaked? That's the idea here. What does that water look like, Joseph? Some may ask. Well, Paul the Apostle said this, Galatians 5:22-23. You know it very well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's defined by joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are the fruits. This is what it should look like. This is what that water should look like in our lives. That affects everyone around us. We are to allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit today and every day, and let the water fight begin, okay? Let's see how we can just splash and drench and just soak each other with the love of God that he desires us to be filled with and overflowing. You see, he wants to fill that emptiness in our hearts with his love. And he not only wants to fill us, but he wants it to overflow. Hey, let me tell you, don't wait around for somebody to get you wet first. That's what I see a lot in the churches today. A lot of Christians waiting. Nobody's talking to me. You know, nobody's getting me wet with any love. Hey, let me tell you. Well, you know, what do you think happens when a water fight starts, right? If you're waiting around for somebody to get you wet, you might be waiting a long time, okay? In a water fight, once it starts, once somebody gets someone wet, what happens after that? It's on, right? Oh, you got me. I'm going to get you back. And then the water fight starts, and everybody, before you know it, is drenched. Everyone's wet. That's the idea. But imagine if everybody sat here with the water balloon, and we're all just waiting. Who's going to throw the first one? Who's going to throw the first one? And no one ever throws the first one. Maybe God's waiting for you to throw the first one. Trust me. If you get someone wet, you will eventually get wet yourself. I'm not talking about water balloons, okay? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and God's love. The more you love others, the more you will be loved. For as I've said it before, and I'll say it again, what goes around, what comes around. If you want love, give love. The Bible says, he who has friends must himself first be friendly. Jesus says, John 13:35, by this all will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Not how well you preach, or how well you sing, or how well you play guitar, or how well you interpret. Or, you know, it's not about, it's just, it's all about love. And the things we do need to be done in the name of love and by the power of God's love. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another day. Let the love of God fill your heart today. And really, truly, that's all I really have to say. May God bless you. May He keep you as we go on our day, day after day. Okay? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time for me to just share the things that you've shared with me, the truths that I know in my head, but are sometimes just don't seem to trickle down into my heart. And I ask you to forgive me, because I'm not throwing a lot of water sometimes. But I know you want me to. I know you want me to share your love. And Lord, I know I'm not where I should be. But as the saying goes, thank God I'm not where I used to be. Lord, help us not be where we used to be. Or maybe we need to get back to where we used to be. Maybe we've fallen from that place in our life when we were so excited about what you've done for us. As this message has reminded me and has really stirred my heart to remember what you've done, to be able to share it. And I ask, Lord, that people would be stirred, that people would want to share the good, amazing things that you've done in their lives, as we can encourage each other. So please, Lord, as we just ask for OIC and this time of transition and growing, oh Lord, what better way to kick it off with a big old water fight? That would be awesome. So Lord, please speak to the hearts today. And just let the fun in Christ begin. As we're so grateful for the fun that we've already had. And we're looking forward to the fun that you have in store for us. Oh yeah, there's going to be hardships and there's going to be pains and sorrows and sufferings and all the rest. That's true. But we know you're with us. We know your loving hand will lead and guide us. So help us, Lord. Hold on to you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.